Welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit International, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shippen, on the mic. And it's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. As you know, I've been pre-recording my show simply because I am attending another project for the foreseeable future, one that I enjoy immensely. So I pray that you guys bear with me. Since this is a pre-recorded show, we won't give out the number, and you cannot call in. But certainly, go to our website or our Twitter account, and certainly leave us a message. Let us know how we're doing. We have a lot of news to get to. The healthcare, I don't even know what these guys call it. It barely resembles anything remotely close to healthcare. It's more a tax break disguised as a healthcare law. There was a pundit, Chris, I can't think of his name, on MSNBC, that interviewed one of the senators that was supporting the healthcare bill, a guy out of Oklahoma. Kind of winging it, so you have to bear with me, because I hadn't prepped for the show, so forgive me in advance. I don't know the names of either the pundit or the senator at the time, but I'll post it in our Twitter account in short order. At any rate, Chris Hayes, and I'll pull up the senator's name in a minute. But it was an interesting dialogue because I knew where he was going with the question because I had already heard it before and heard the response in regard to a free market or allowing the free markets to govern healthcare. At any rate, Chris Hayes asked the senator, or a senator from Oklahoma, you guys can basically look it up, it's only two. Can you give us an example of a place in the world, and obviously I'm paraphrasing, you didn't exactly say it like that, but can you give us an example of a place in the world where the free market has governed healthcare and has done it successfully? So obviously the senator wasn't able to do so, because there is no such place. There's not a single country on earth that has a free market model of healthcare that actually works for citizenry. What most countries believe, and certainly most industrialized countries, is that healthcare is a right, and it should be. But here in the United States, we have somehow deluded the people into believing that the free market should govern who and who does not get health care. Basically, though, it comes down to some very racist assumptions and even classicists, if you think about it, because the vast majority of the persons that are going to be hurt the worst are persons that are living, you know, in Appalachia and in the Deep South, that have Republican governorships, Mississippi and Alabama, and these places where you have intractable community of impoverished persons, and then you have some poor people, apparently poor people from other parts of the country, of which blacks make up a disproportionate percentage. Now, we're not going into the reasons that African Americans make up a disproportionate percentage of impoverished persons or impoverished people in these United States. Most of the causes we have dealt with here on the Marketing Pulpit International New York Show with yours truly, Dennis Shippen, on many, many occasions. So it should come as no surprise to us that they're going to be the population most affected by it, which segues nicely into why, and I would say primarily racism, because you have intransigent element in the electorate, white folks, let's keep it real, who feel that blacks are getting a lot of things for free. Oh, which is fine. I mean, they can believe that. Obviously, it's not true. And even if it was, I don't recall a bill that has passed giving reparations to descendants of enslaved Africans that were forced to these shores in bondage and worked for hundreds of years for free. So I think at some juncture, if we're going to be honest about this racist assumption that you know, black people want things for free, then we also have to be honest about the head start that black folks have given to the United States by working in awful conditions, oftentimes, in the Deep South to give America economic boost, the likes of which we've never seen on Earth and hopefully will never again, but has made the United States up to this point one of the more, if not the most powerful nation on the face of the Earth. Let's take a break, come back on the other side of the break, and talk more about this disastrous healthcare bill. And we're back here at Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on a beautiful, if windy and cool, Sunday afternoon. Weather's approximately 60 miles an hour. I don't know quite what it's going to be tomorrow, but I expect it's going to be cool the remainder of the week with some rain showers, which is a good thing. We need rain, but it's uncharacteristically, I think that's the point that we were trying to make, cool for this time of the year. And they were even talking about some snow upstate in Rochester and Buffalo. I went to school in Buffalo, so that doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I can remember walking across the commons when I was doing grad work at Buffalo State, and it was snowing. I mean, it was astonishing because it was sunny out, but windy, much like today, blustery. And the temperature dropped rapidly, and then it just started snowing. I don't think it was a blizzard or anything like that. No, you know, it was just interesting because, you know, Buffalo's the second largest city, by the way, in New York State, and no one wants to live there. No, I don't want to say that. That's not absolutely true. As a matter of fact, a lot of my colleagues, a lot of my classmates, still remain in the area. It's a nice city. I like it, but it's kind of conservative. That area up there is kind of conservative and obviously cold, you know. So they do a good job, you know, DPW and State Highway and keeping, you know, the major thoroughfares, 90, I would guess, I-90, clear of snows going, you know, going to Niagara Falls, the Canada side, and certainly down into Pennsylvania. I believe, you know, you go around a lake and you head down to Erie, Pennsylvania. So at any rate, you know, at the break, before we took the break, we were talking about the fact that this healthcare bill is really, if it passed without any amendment without any changes in its current form, in other words, it would literally kill millions of people. As it stands to throw millions and millions of people off health care. And the current administration, or certainly the representatives in the House of Representatives that voted for it, were in a celebratory mood, and they were also of a certain hue to a person. And I believe that Andrea Mitchell had interviewed Secretary Price of Health and Human Services, former senator himself, and a staunch opponent of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act prior to his nomination as Secretary of Health and Human Services. And she was asking him about the diversity, which goes right to my suspicion. Well, it's not really a suspicion. I mean, I guess if I were to pull up the data, it would be quite apparent that, you know, a driving force, a driving motivation behind the fact that, you know, this, you know, abomination passed was truly to hurt people. There's no other way about it. You know, it was malicious, evil in intent, and certainly something that's beneath the body politic of the United States. I mean, it really is. If you think about it from an objective, a fair perspective, you know, even if you don't feel that people should be, you know, getting things for free, you have to consider everything that the United States, I mean, objectively, you know, subsidizes. You know, they subsidize farmers, many of whom are millionaires. Farmers in this country aren't necessarily poor. Yeah, you have a small segment of farmers that are struggling, but I would say the vast majority of farmers do very well. And we subsidize them. We subsidize energy companies who are also doing very well. They reap record profits year after year, decade after decade, and we still give them subsidies, and on and on and on. So, you know, they call it corporate welfare, but I don't think we talk enough about it, and certainly don't tie it to the issue of the social safety net, which everyone is hell-bent on dismantling, because, again, they believe, and by they, I mean a certain intransigent segment of this country, that it benefits blacks too much. They want free stuff. And you hear this nonsense bandied about by the ill-informed ad nauseum. Let's take another break. We'll come back on the other side of the break and finish talking about the foolishness that they've engaged in. And by they, I mean the Congress, by passing what is arguably the most draconian piece of legislation that has ever been introduced in that chamber. And you're back, tuned into the Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on the mic on a Sunday afternoon, a pre-recorded show, because I'm You know, I'm back doing my first love, and I've done it for a number of years, and I've you know, I really, you know, think as I head towards, you know, I got about 10, 15 more years. I tell my students, because I'm doing a little teaching, primarily IT and things I love to do, and I was telling them that, you know, we talk a lot about it on this show, and perhaps it bears a short discussion today. We're talking about robotics and automation, and I don't think we talk about that enough because, you know, as you know, the old cliche goes, when America catches a cold, the African American community catches pneumonia. And you know, it's, I posted a lot of about this over the last week or so. There's some very, very good pieces, articles out on it. And I never wanted to be an alarmist, but I don't think, I know Sharpton was talking about it on his radio show. And the only reason I mention him is simply because he has access, and he has a huge footprint in terms of reaching an audience. And he's talking about some initiative, you know, which you know how I feel about these initiatives, especially coming from Nan. You know, I was watching another show the other night. A young man, activist out of Baltimore, was talking about Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland's decision to, you know, in the wake of a similar decision in Jersey, to stop automatically incarcerating folks who can't afford bail, which is just following the Constitution. It's always been a provision in the Constitution to grant persons bail, and during the heyday of the lock 'em up and throw away the key movement, which I say spanned, you know, roughly from the mid to late 70s until about the mid to late 90s, we've seen a movement away from that part of the criminal injustice system. And so the young man was saying that Nan was part of organized black leadership that were supporting the bail bond industry to prevent this bill from becoming reality. And it was stunning. And I would love to. And it was on RT. It was just on this Russian, what they call a Russian propaganda station. But you never hear about this in the mainstream media. So, you know, there is propaganda being bandied about by the left and the right equally. And, you know, I don't know much about RT, but what I do know is that the reporter that was interviewing, the host that was interviewing this young guy, you know, he spoke flawless English. He didn't look Russian at all to me, you know, Slavic, those type of features. You know, putting on my anthropologist hat here, you know, it was really a really thorough interview. And the guy said, yeah, you know, we watched him go into the steakhouse and, you know, with the lobbyists, and, you know, lobbyists were saying that, you know, yeah, well, you know, list to the delegates, not necessarily to the civil rights organizations that were supporting this legislation or opposing the legislation. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there because Sharpton came out with a recent, or so he says, initiative, you know, that was, you know, dealing with technology and, you know, how we have to get African Americans. I would assume, you know, as someone that deals with, you know, from the broadcast perspective, you know, in engineering and production, post-production, mix downs, and that sort of thing, narration, voiceovers, you know, this is our bread and butter. Some of our core services here at East New York Management. Those that want to know more about us, by the way, you can go to www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. We also own a domain at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.com. As a matter of fact, I got to look that up. I don't quite know what's going on with that because I renewed the domain, and I don't know if it necessarily captured my .com. Got to check that out. Just something that popped into my head when I was talking about it. But it's very, very important because as technology and automation, especially, you know, in this new administration, you know, and I'm thinking about it from the perspective of the students that I teach, young, you know, primarily African-American, but, you know, some other groups in there, you know, white, Asian, South Asian, you know, need to get on the ball here because as automation and robotics takes hold, and it has already, you know, it's insidious, you know, we don't think about Alexa and Cortana and these sort of virtual assistants that are, you know, becoming omnipresent in our homes, computers and phones. But, you know, that's an illustration of artificial intelligence. And, I have some real, real strong misgivings. And I talk a lot about that I was doing trying to finish up my doctorate before I become too long in the tooth. And I talk a lot about that in my philosophy statement. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to, at some juncture, you know, because it's very short, it's only two or three pages, I'm going to rewrite it into a short essay, you know, because I was thinking about A Space Odyssey 2001, which came out in 1968. It had a computer in there by the name of Hal. Hal became self-aware and decided he wanted to wreak havoc on the world. And then you have a continuum of themes like that down to, I think, the latest, which would be the Terminator series, which had a similar, sort of theme. And there's a guy that wrote an article, and as a matter of fact, it is, I'm going to definitely do it now that I'm thinking more about it. I'm going to rewrite this mission statement, this philosophy statement, into a short essay, and I'll post it online, and you guys can take a read, because it's very important that we, especially in the African-American community, get on the right side of the technology divide. Not only, you know, in terms of you know, what these robots might, you know, the danger they might possibly pose. You know, iRobot. You're talking about Will Smith becoming you know, having a prejudice against these self-aware machines, and you know, that's something that we. You know, we haven't yet considered because, you know, as these technologies become more and more omnipresent in our lives, you know, with self-propelled automobiles and trucks and as they displace workers, we haven't yet considered what some genius is going to do in one of these remote government-funded labs to turn the switch on one of these robots with advanced artificial intelligence or one of the major universities, Caltech or MIT, you know, Carnegie Mellon, you know, one of the Drexel major engineering schools. At any rate, that's for a whole nother show. I really want to talk about that a lot because it's really been something that I've been pondering. It's something that I've been working on personally as you know, and trying to bring together all my skill sets, you know, broadcaster and writer and social scientist, certainly a teacher, and just how all of these fields and disciplines have shaped my attitude towards what's coming down the pike in a couple of years. Take another break, come back on the other side of break, and finish talking about this. And we're back here at the Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on a rather cool and sunny Sunday afternoon with you. Pre-recorded show, so don't try to call in at some point. We'll make the necessary adjustments. And, you know, as a matter of fact, we're looking, you know, we're talking about technology on the other side of the break. And we, you know, obviously are technologically savvy. The whole Marketing Pulpit International family is technologically savvy, folks. So we know how to get things done. I was telling, not a friend of mine, but certainly a business acquaintance, that the one beauty of technology, you know, I mean, I've been always embraced it, but I think there are limitations, you know, ethical, certainly, limitations that we should recognize that... It definitely expands capacity. It allows you to do two or three things because you don't necessarily have to be there, you know, when the things happen. And in this particular case, that's what I'm. I don't necessarily have to be in a studio. I can, you know, fortunately, pre-record a show and that sort of thing as a podcast, and you know, just. You know, uploaded to the server, and hopefully it plays correctly. I don't know. I haven't checked, and I haven't talked to the executive producer of all Marketing Pulpit shows. I'm the producer of this particular show, Marketing Pulpit International New York Edition, but there is an executive producer, a gentleman by the name of Robert Gatewood, and I haven't checked with Mr. Gatewood to determine if my shows are airing. So I'm certain that you guys in the listening audience give me a shout out via text or email. Go to our website and find that information out. Again, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. But I think over the next coming weeks, we're going to be talking a lot more about automation and robotics, because it's really going to hit the African-American community quite hard. Because these labor-intensive jobs are not even labor-intensive jobs, semi-skilled jobs, like, say, an example, truck driving. And I have an affinity for truck drivers. I had a Class A CDL for years, you know, drove off and on through high school, college. As a matter of fact, I learned how to drive a tractor and trailer through high school. I never went to school for it. And, you know, this Italian guy took a liking to me. I was a kid, barely 17, and showed me how to back old screaming Detroit Eagle single axle. And, you know, I never looked back. Those jobs are going to be a thing of the past as robotics take hold. They're talking about integrating smart technology into the roads, and that's going to dramatically reduce accidents and that sort of thing, which are going to drive insurers and shippers and, you know, everyone involved in the supply chain to eliminate the human factor, you know, simply because of human error, you know, is going to be too expensive to sustain any longer. So we're going to talk a lot about this over the coming weeks, automation and robotics here on the Marketing Pulpit. And hope you guys stay tuned, and hope you have a great week. Nice talking to you right here. Dennis Shipman signing out.